If you haven't noticed, January Stewardship Month, I've been a pastor now for 19 and a half years. It's kind of hard for me to believe. But this is my 19th January as a pastor. And I, every January, preach stewardship. It was something that one of my instructors had it laid upon my heart and gave a good reason, rationale for it, and I've followed through on it, and I found it to hold me in good stead, because a lot of times we think stewardship is nothing more than whipping out the checkbook and writing a check and giving it in whatever amount. Well, God actually tells us what amounts we're supposed to give if we actually pay attention to His Word. And He also tells us that stewardship is a lot more than that. That's just a piece of it. Part of stewardship is taking care of the building that God has given us. Caring for those resources which God has put in our hands is for His glory. That's stewardship. And we're going to look at a parable that Jesus shares with us that really does deal with stewards and stewardship. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 35 through 48 and see what Jesus is saying here and the lessons that we can take in relationship to stewardship from this. He says, "Be dressed and ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet." Stop. These men who are returning from a wedding banquet, these are stewards. Okay, kids, you're dismissed for children's church. Go with Donna. Okay. Now, they're stewards. This is who we're talking about. "Be dressed and ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their wedding, for their master to come from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants who master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Peter asked, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone?" The Lord answered, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants and gives them food, gives them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master is taking a long time in coming,' and then begins to beat the men servants and maid servants and eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him to pieces and assign him to a place with the unbelievers. That servant who knows this, his master's will, and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants, will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving of punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from those who, and for the one who has much entrusted with much, much more will be asked." Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We ask that, Lord, you would speak to us through it, that you would reveal to us the lesson that you would have us to take from your word fresh and new this day. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me, that as I come and preach, this morning, that you would speak through me, that your anointing would be upon me, that I wouldn't be speaking out of me, but I'd be speaking from you. Lord, we pray here this morning that all who hear your word would be encouraged and be drawn closer to you and blessed. Lord, might we learn to be good stewards. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's an interesting set of parables here, a couple stories. It is indeed talking about us waiting for the Master to return. It is talking about Jesus returning and us being ready for Him. Now, Jesus returns one of two ways. Either we go to be with Him, or He comes here. We're reunited with our Master in one of those two fashions. At some point in time, we will be reunited with Him. It's going to happen. And He's going to look to us, His servants, because His management, we're not. Okay? He's the one who is in charge. Now, He has put those over others and over other resources. Some of us have a lot, some of us have a little, some of us have somewhere in between. But all of us have something that we're supposed to oversee for God, if it's only our own very breath. If it's only our own lives. But everything that God brings into our life, we're supposed to manage for Him. And He is very, very clear here when He tells us that those who do His will are going to be honored and rewarded. But those who don't, they have a fate which is very bad. I don't know about you, but the idea of being cut up in pieces and being resigned to be with the unbelievers isn't on my to-do list. It's not something I want to experience. It's something I want to avoid at all cost. Okay, well, that's easy. I need to be in the good servant category, not the bad servant category. Right? Am I making this up, or is that what the Scripture tells us here? Thank you, Vicki. Jesus tells us this is what's going to happen. What happens to those who... If you're ready for waiting for Him, if we are prepared for Him when He shows up, even if He shows up at the most inopportune moment, the third hour in the middle of the night, third watch is like 3, 4 a.m. It's like, you've been asleep and you're groggy and you can't quite get up yet. Except they're waiting up ready. They're ready for Him. So He doesn't take them by surprise. And when He knocks the door, they open the door. He doesn't have to stand out there waiting. And what does He do? He dresses Himself to serve. And who does He serve? The Master serves His servants who were ready for Him. That is such an honor. It is such a reward. And it's what God has for us. If we do what? If we're prepared for Him, there is blessings. There is special honor that will be given to those who do what their Master has commanded them to do and that which they know they're supposed to do. Now, if we don't do what we're supposed to do, there's judgment. And it's laid out very clearly that even though it goes on for a long time, that it looks like the guy's getting away with it, Sooner or later, the master will return and he will bring judgment on this servant. So, even though it looks like they're getting away with it, it's not going to happen. Remember, we will eventually meet the master, either at our own demise, when we die on this earth, we go to be with him, go to that judgment seat first, right? Where am I finding you written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or am I not? I dare say if Jesus is not my Lord, that means if he's not my master, if I am a servant that is in rebellion, then he's really not my master, now is he? That's how I can be consigned to the unbelievers. I might profess, but if my actions don't confirm, what's the truth? What I say or what I do? Okay. We have that laid out. So what does make a good steward? What makes a bad steward? That's the ultimate question here, isn't it? Hey, I want to be the good steward. I want to be the one who Jesus serves and rewards and gives special honor to. And he finds that I did such a good job that he gives me more to do. You know, what's the reward for a job well done? Another bigger job, right? Well, that's what God does. You're given more responsibility. If you're shown that you can use responsibility, aren't you given more? That's what God does. So what is good? What is bad? The bad servant here, we're shown, is the one who knows what he's supposed to do and doesn't do it. That's the first level of bad. I know what's right, but I don't do it anyways. Willfulness. They're going to mistreat others. They're going to abuse the power and authority that God has given them to use for his name and glory's sake. They use it for their own self-aggrandizement. They use it for that. That's not supposed to be us, people. That's the bad side. We don't want to be there. So if you know what God's will is, if you read God's word and it says, do this, that's what you're supposed to do. What do you mean, Pastor? It means you're supposed to tithe. It means you're supposed to go to church. It means you're supposed to preach the gospel. It means you're supposed to be the light of the world. Christ is supposed to be that light in and through you. You're supposed to be a blessing to those who are in trouble. Not more trouble. Okay? You ever had somebody show up to help who you knew was not really help, but they were more trouble than it was worth to have them around? Huh? Okay, that's who we're not supposed to be. As Christians, we're supposed to be the one who really does help. Now, we're also told here something interesting. The one who does not know and does things deserving of punishment will be beaten with few blows. So you're still, if I didn't know what I was supposed to do and I still did wrong, I still get punished. Not quite as severely as the one who knew wrong and did wrong. So, the person who never heard the gospel and doesn't follow it isn't as in as bad off a position as the person who hears the gospel and rejects it. Kind of a two-edged sword there, isn't it? You're better off to hear the gospel and believe it, but if you hear the gospel and reject it, you're in worse shape than you were before. Because judgment is going to be worse for you. I don't know how it can be worse, but God says it's worse. So I'll take his word for it. I'm going to believe him. I don't know how it can be, but it's going to be. So we go back to stewardship. What is it that I'm supposed to do? I am supposed to do my Lord's will. That's what a steward does. In all things. In every aspect of my life. How many of you have a savings account? Did you know that the Alliance Development Fund has savings accounts? Now, you're being a good steward of your money if you save some of it for emergency needs or for future needs. But maybe you could be a better steward by saving it in it with an institution that uses that money to support churches. You know what the Alliance Development Fund is? The Alliance Development Fund, you know, I sound like a commercial for the right now, but just please bear with me. The Alliance Development Fund is the CMA, the Christian Mission Alliance's investment arm. And what they do is they provide opportunity for members, for people to the churches, you know, licensed workers, members of the congregations, to save money, to buy certificates, savings accounts, retirement accounts, things like this. And then they take that money and they use it for the purpose of building churches. They loan money to new church plants, to establish congregations that are going to do an upgrade. They're going to revamp their ministry, revamp their building, maybe increase the size. Freshwater Church in St. Bonifacius started out brand new church plant 14 years ago. 15 years ago is when it started. It actually started 15 years ago. Since then, they have been in three different buildings. And it's the Alliance Development Fund that has helped them to purchase the building and then upgrade as they've gone through. And they were in a special issue this last month talking about them. Now, that was done because that was able to occur because there were people who took the assets that God had given them and they put it in a place that was intentional in blessing God. Now, this is the better stewardship. It's good stewardship to make sure you pay your bills and do everything. But if you know, hey, I have resources, and these resources can be set here, and they can help God's kingdom move forward, that's better. Now you know you can do that with your money. So now you're in worse shape than you were before. I told you. I'm not saying you got to put your money in the Alliance Development Fund. I'm saying, do you think about what you're doing with your resources, your investments that you make? I invest only through my retirement account, which is handled through the Alliance, which is particular about who it invests in. It doesn't buy companies that, like, well, that are involved in things that would find that the Christian community would be upset to find out that they were part of. If the church found out that it was a major stockholder in a pornographic movie studio, it might be a big money maker, but the church doesn't want to own stock in that company, and I don't want it in my portfolio. Okay, so the people who do look specifically for that. That's good stewardship. We can do good stewardship in every aspect of our life. It's good stewardship for me to make sure that I get to bed early enough on Saturday night so that I can get up Sunday morning in time to be here at church. Amen. Okay? It's not good stewardship for me to be up until 2, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., not even go to bed at all. Now, My mother and my wife can both attest that I love to read, and that there's times when I've gotten stuck in a book and I don't go to bed. I just read the book all night and then just continue on the next day. That's not good stewardship when the next day I'm not able to do what I should at the best of my ability. So I need to check that. I need to look at my life and say, am I doing what it is God wants me to do? See, it's not just the big things. Am I out there abusing other people? Am I beating my wife? Okay, I'm not supposed to do that. Okay? Just in case you were wondering, I don't. I never would. But here what we see is that the poor steward does that type of thing. Abuses their authority. Abuses those underneath them. Abuses those aside in different ways. Good steward doesn't. Look at every aspect of your life and say, well, how does God want me to live this way? There is no part of our life that God is not supposed to be part of. And if God's not part of it, then we're not being a good steward of it. So you want to be a good steward. You want to have the Lord dressed to serve and to serve you and to give you more to be responsible for. You want that? Then you need to be responsible in the very little things that He gives you right now. And if you show that you're responsible in little, then He will trust you with much. But if you can't be, if you cannot be responsible for a little, you can't be responsible for a lot. If I cannot trust you with $10, why in the world would I give you $100 or $1,000 or $10,000? Oh no, you know, I know that I can't trust him with $10. He'll never, you know, but he'd be faithful with $10,000. Wrong. Wrong. If you can't be faithful with a little, you won't be faithful with a lot. And God won't trust you with a lot. Now, here's another interesting thing I want you to notice here. The bar moves. Did you notice that in the story that he gives? That there's different levels of accountability based upon how much responsibility each one had been given. And the more that they'd been given, the more they were held accountable. If you didn't know anything, you were held least accountable, but you're still held accountable. There was still accountability for doing wrong. But if you had just a little bit, and you were faithful in that, you were blessed. If you had a lot, you were held to a higher level of accountability, and you had to be faithful in everything, not just the big things. Okay? Don't look at somebody else's stewardship and say, that's my mark. Your mark is for you. What has God put you in charge of? What has He made you responsible for? That's your mark. Everything that He's made you responsible for, you need to do it the way He wants you to do it. Not the way Pastor Bruce tells you you're supposed to do it. Not the way that George does it, or Seng does it, or Pastor John does it. But the way God tells you to do it. Please note the difference. I may speak from God's Word. I may read God's Word. But I am not God's Word. This is God's Word. And the Holy Spirit also speaks within you. Each one, every one of us who receives Jesus as Lord and Savior receives the Holy Spirit. And He tells us what's right and what's wrong. We can test the kingdom and know it. So I know what God's will is. Because I can read it right here and it says, this is what you're supposed to do. Sometimes He lays it out plain as day when He tells us, hey, guess what? I want you to give 10%. Okay, that's called your tithe. Okay, then I want you to give sacrifices and offerings. That's sacrifices, what you give over and above the tithe. That's something that's sacrificial because I've given you a burden for a specific thing. An offering, that's because I've blessed you and you want to thank me because I've blessed you, so you just give out of the overabundance I gave you. Okay? Now, I want you to give, but I also want you to manage. I want you to care for those things that have been put under you. Make sure that it prospers. You know, children. Every parent is a steward of the children. These are God's kids. And we are supposed to manage them for God's glory, not our own aggrandizement. How many times have you seen a parent living vicariously through their child? Okay? I've been guilty having to make sure that I don't fall into that problem with my children. You know, well, you need to do this. Why? Because, well, I wanted to do that when I was a kid. No. That's not why kids should do it. Okay? But there are some things that they should do. I made my kids go to Sunday school. Why? Because my mother made me go to Sunday school? That's part of the reason that I knew that I was supposed to send my kids to Sunday school. But because God says I'm supposed to raise my children up. And that the way that they should know. Raise your children up in the way that they should go, and then they will not depart from it when they grow old. They'll know the way. Or they'll return to it if they wander off. So it's not just the money thing. It's our time. It's our relationships. Are you cultivating new relationships with non-Christians? If you aren't, are you being a good steward of the gospel message which God has given you? Now, some people are going to be really, really out there. Rachel and David are two of our people here that are evangelists. They have evangelistic hearts. Somebody sits down in Rachel's chair, sooner or later, they're going to get to hear about God. She's going to talk to him about it. It's going to happen. Yes? Okay, David's walking down the street. He finds a lamppost. Well, he's going to talk to it about God. And if you happen to look like a lamppost, you're it. Or anything moving. David talks about God to everybody. He has that heart. Now, some of us say, not me, can't do that. Well, you don't have to do it the way he does it. Or she does it. It's the way God wants you to do it. Who do you know? Maybe it's just your neighbor. Cultivating relationships doesn't mean that you have to do 25 or 30 a day, 25 or 30 in a week, or a month, or a year, but maybe a lifetime. How many? Are you at least looking for somebody else to share the gospel with? God gave you the gospel message. For what purpose? To share it. That's why you have it. If we don't share it, that's bad stewardship. Everything boils down to stewardship. It can all be packaged in there some way because either we are good stewards of what God has given us or we are bad stewards of it. And He's asking us to be good stewards. He's telling us emphatically, if you don't, there is a consequence. Don't get caught up with the bad steward. Don't be caught up and cast out with the unbeliever. Instead, be the good steward. Might Jesus welcome you, put on serving robes and serve you, and then give you even greater things to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you, Lord, have shown us how we can do things. In every aspect, little things to big things. Lord, might we examine our lives and look for ways where we can better serve you, that we can better use the resources that we have been given by you for your kingdom's glory. Lord, help us to be good stewards. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.